Tzadi Hei Siv Gimel from in the middle of the Ramah. So there is a line being Ira Mikli Rishon Shalbasar Al Kli Chalav, that if it if you pour from a Kli Rishon Shalbasar, a meat Kli Rishon, onto a milk Kli. So Dino Kli Rishon, so it's as if the Kli, or Al Kli Chalav, right? Dino Kli Rishon, it's as if it's actually coming kind of with the Kli Rishon. But Oser Im Haya Ben Yomo would actually Aser that vessel if it was a Ben Yomo. Okay, if that original pot was a Ben Yomo. You gotta ask those guys.
Good pay,
yes.
Just the top line.
Okay. Aval, and this was that big kula of the Ramah. Aval im iramayim rodchim she'enon shel basar velo shel chalav, that if you poured hot water that was neither milchik nor fleishik on vessels that were both meat and milk together, even if there was schmutz on them, hakol shari shol be mutter. Right. So from here, it actually sounded like, as we pointed out, that a that you should be able to put both milchik and fleishik dishes in the same dishwasher at the same time. Right. Not milchik and treif, but milchik and fleishik. However, we pointed out that all the nosakim disagree, and the more modern opinions on this also disagree with this Ramah. But the Ramah says mutter. So. Okay, so that's one thing to keep in mind. The ain iroi ke kli rishon mamish. So iroi is not like kli rishon mamish. Again, the Shach discussed why he would say that. She yaser shakenu shemara aleim yivlu zemizav. It actually causes absorptions from one to the other. And then the last part of the Ramah also is not relevant for tonight. If you find a milchik kli amongst the fleishik one, lo chayshin shemahud chubi yachav aderech shenasar. We don't assume that's us. We assume that it is mutter. Okay, that was the Ramah. And then we had the Machaber point out that yirali, right, his own thing, this dalid sheim nasnu afar b'mayim, that if you put some dust into water, chamin, that is hot, should be yora kodem sheinichu akaderos b'selcha, before you put anything else in there. Even though there is shuman that is connected to it is permissible, because that dust makes the entire water tamlifgam, so that anything that goes in there will not be considered viable taste, will be considered bad taste. Right, so that's where the Shach got very upset with him. Then that you've pretty much done away with the entire need for hashra kalim, right? Just boil soap water in it, right? That should be enough. So that's why the Shach disagreed with it. Some pointed out that, well, kind of. I mean, why didn't the Torah give us that idea? I mean, the Torah, the Gemara's in Chulin, to take all those ventosos, try to figure out how you can take a really big pot and kashrut. What's the big deal? Just boil soapy water in it. So some say, no, you're right. That notwithstanding, is there a way to kasher it in the regular way without doing it? While others say that. So do we pass on this machaber or not? So we point out that the Aruch HaShulchan said yes. The Aruch HaShulchan said that many are knowing to keep this. So while the kula of the Ramah here seems to not be so accepted, the kula of the machaber seems to be accepted. Okay?
What's the difference between them?
The kula of the Ramah has to do with if you pour hot water onto milk and fleishik things together. The Ramah says, don't worry about it, it's all fine. So that people weren't so excited about. But the Mechaber here, where he discusses the afar b'may, the if you put some tamlif gam in it, if you put some bad taste in it, that would be okay. So, by the way, if you're not pouring water, if you pour hot water onto milk and fleishik kalim together, that's a problem. What if you pour soapy hot water onto milk and fleishik kalim together? So lechor, that should be okay.
Right. From two standpoints, from both of them.
Right. According to both of them, but even if we don't want to accept the kula of the Ramah, right? According to the Mechaber, that would be okay. So that sounds like our dishwashers, right? You put soap in the beginning. We assume that there's soap coming out, right? So that sounds like there should be soap involved. It's unclear whether, I mean, it's not
I'm
clear.
Not sure, I'm not sure that's the first thing that happens.
Right, so it's unclear if that is the first thing that happens in all dishwashers, such that we could give a blanket kula for all dishwashers. It could be that the first rinse might be water, and then they invoke the soap, mm-hmm. Right? It's unclear whether that's actually what's going on.
Two spots, right?
Huh?
They have some where you put it, it's closed, and another one it's open, so it uses up.
Yeah, but that first thing is that getting into the sprayers right away or not in our personal dishwashers? Right, that's what's taking place.
That is, at first they would get the stuff wet.
Right, and then they would So with so if the standard dishwasher seems like most artists, but when you get into the discussions about our personal dishwasher, it seems like that's the assumption is like what you're saying. At the first word, in the Starbucks, it's not the case. We'll get to Starbucks later in the year. But with the regular dishwashers, so we assume that's the problem. So why don't we take a look here, Rav Moshe's tshuva dishwasher, take a look at the back first. We'll do the back first. So the top right, even though it is untitled, is where he spells it out, and then he has Ode B'davar dishwasher. Right, so Rav Moshe actually has three tshuvas on dishwashers. Mm-hmm. The first tshuva appears, this is the Igros Moshe side. Right, the first tshuva appears in Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph, where I think he says very quickly that he thinks it's okay to use one for milchix and then for fleishix, meaning use the same washer both for milchix and for fleishix, not at the same time. You have to change the racks. He just says it. Okay, later on, now this is Yeridaya Chelek Gimel, I think. He has two more tshuvas where he says, I've been asked to discuss my opinion having to do with dishwashers. So here I'll spell it out a little bit more clearly. So if you look at the top right, he explains the top three lines. Thing I said what I said before, right? The third line he says, "Ach lo kasafti shama tam." I didn't write the reason. There we shouldn't do pashut. Was it obvious why it should be okay? Ta be'etzem hu not parnat shemutter mi baser lechal aviyepcha, because it's not parnat. Because what's going to happen? The water hits the kalim, the stuff from the kalim then hits something else. Then that something else has to then be absorbed into fleishix, into something fleishix, and then that fleishix stuff has to then impose itself onto a food. Right? It's many steps, so it's not parnat. So it shouldn't be a problem. Shemutter yibaser l'chal v'ibcha umefurish b'ramasim and tzadi heisiv gimel, what we just learned. Od yoser dafil v'osan amayim shehudchu behen akli basar mutter ladiach gamis akli chal. This is not the kula that we just discussed early on in that simon where he discusses that the same water could be used for both. After you took out the meat kalim, in lo haya be. If there was nothing be'ein there, if there was nothing real there, or if the water was 60 times the be'ein, the kosher came b'kachu mayim acher. And certainly here, where it's different water, it should certainly be okay. He says, I do have one requirement though. I want what you put the kalim on to be something else. What do we call that? We call those racks, right? So I want you to have separate racks. Why? Because it's possible that there will be be'in that will be left over. Right, from the meat that will like kind of be stuck to the racks, and the opposite she'as k'shiyavu ha'mayim cham she'yatzulas ben yafliya me'akli chal v'ibcha. So then that will, the second time around, it will cause that stuff to go back into the meat. And he says, and don't say that, oh, I'm going to look at it, because we know that you're not. right? She'yishlof she'yishlof, so you know that you're going to forget. V'lachein tzarech shnayim echa echa l'kli ha'basar v'echli chal. Therefore you need two, one for basar and one for chal.
I have a question whether the racks are stainless steel or covered in the whatever plastic material.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
What if you do a rhyme between? An empty.
Right, so.
Well, it didn't come off in the first place.
He's saying you can do one after another.
But you have to take out the racks because whatever bein is there is going to
change the racks. I was saying.
Also, do a.
We have two dishwashers.
Right. So that is what he that is, it shouldn't matter. But he's concerned for things that really exist, as opposed to whether it's one or the other, whether it's going to be the blios or not. There are those that point out that if one with the lamas or Moshe, if the dishwashers are cleaning the dishes, they certainly would be able to clean the racks. So some are not kosher for the, meaning some people want to be more makel than revotion. So there's no, it is permissible. Ravadi Yosef is makel that he could do it. I think without changing the racks, I had a Sephardi member in my shul in Phoenix was a big tzaddik. So he called me about this. He said, "Hey, can I rely on?" He learned it. I didn't know it. He just learned this. He's a smart guy. He was learning. What's the sefer called? The 15 volume, whatever. He was learning it, and he came across Yalkut Yosef. He was learning the Yalkut Yosef, and he came across it. He said, "Cool." He called me up. He says, "A, can I rely on this? And B, if I rely on it, can I still have you over for meals?" I called Rabbi Willig, who said to me, "I gotta look it up." He looked it up. He said, "Yeah, he says it. Then yeah, and you don't have to worry about it. So you can rely on him for then for meals." And other people also even Rav Moshe's Mekel. He's not Mekel, but he really is Mekel. He's Mekel on the idea that one can use the same with the walls, etc. What?
Can you really do it besides your Sephardic friend and
Sephardim do it. Sephardim do it, and others. He certainly uses the same racks, and others are on record. Who actually does it? I don't know who does it.
To
even use the same racks. Rav Abadi, I heard today, is Mekel even to use the same racks for Ashkenazim. Those that are Mekel to do this. The reasons to be, he points out, by the way, at the end. I mean, he goes through really the same stuff again. But at the very end, in the left top left side of the page here, he says, "Alval dishvasher shehudchu kli."
Which line?
Nachrim, the top left.
Underline.
No, further. The next column.
All the way up.
Yeah. At the very end of going through the entire thing again, he says, "Alval dishvasher shehudchu kli nachrim shehim kli iser usser." Means to use it for non-Jews, the non-Jewish kelim, serve af hagalas lo mahan. Even hagala wouldn't work. Mishum sheheim mitzufim biparzelin, because they are mitzufim in porcelain. Vegam kashulin kosu v'chein yiv shalahakum lichalas lepesach. You can't use it for Pesach, and B, if it's porcelain walls, so those are considered clay. Those are considered clay, and therefore they wouldn't be able to get it out. Now some are even make on that. Personally,
talking about non-kosher stuff.
We're talking about non-kosher. I mean, if you use non-kosher, the kula. What he's saying is the kulas of not parnat don't apply if it's a dover treif. He's basing his kulas entirely. He doesn't talk about soap at all. Right? He's talking about not parnat. Right? He doesn't get the tzadi gimel, tzadi hey gimel. He's a tzadi hey dalet. He's only a tzadi hey gimel. And he says not parnat should allow you to use the whole thing. That's always the big shiloh when people move, kids, you know, you move into a new apartment, so you have to get a new dishwasher because the previous person wasn't Jewish. There's other reasons to be mekel on these dishwashers. I tell people you could run through one. First of all, the most ours aren't made of porcelain; they're made of plastic. Now, whether plastic is better than porcelain or not is unclear, but porcelain probably is more kli cheres. Plastic, even though for Pesach I
wouldn't
rely on
it. Instead of the dishwasher,
dishwashers. They're either metal or plastic.
More expensive ones are metal. Most expensive ones are.
Ours is not that expensive. I can't show you. It's metal.
I don't know. The ones that we've had are plastic. So plastic, perhaps one could be. What? Metal for sure is better, right? Metal you could just kosher. Metal you run it through and it's kosher. Even plastic ones, I think for the rest of the year, one could be mekel. You could also rely on the idea that the soap is generally used in dishwashers, so it should be okay. And then you have the regular kulas of it. It's tamuf kam anyways, so tamuf kam.
So one could be mekel with
trade. What?
One could be mekel with
trade. So I think if there is a period of time between the two and it's it's clean, that people that move.
So with all this weight and all this preponderance of opinion that you can use regarding milchiks and fleishiks, with all this preponderance of opinion that you can run milchiks and fleishiks in separate cycles, how do we come to a situation where most of us don't?
That's on the other side of the page.
But I would just ask a question. Why is Pesach a problem?
Pesach is a problem because the whole idea of not parnat is based on that it's all mutter until later on. Meaning it goes into the vessel, it's still a tam mutter. It comes out of the thing, it's still a tam mutter. Right? What's chametz though? So one can make a case, and 90% of Rishonim make this case, that chametz of Pesach is also, it should be mekel also, because it's chametz of Pesach is totally permissible the rest of the year. It's only aser on Pesach. So while it's going through its cycles of in the kli, out of the kli, in the kli, out of the kli, it's all permissible, and therefore naparnach should apply. So there's a Ramban that says that no, there's a Ramban that once Pesach hits, we judge the rest of the year as being tam aser. It was tam aser the entire time. The Ramban is invoked by the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says one should be machmir for that Ramban, so therefore everyone's machmir. For that.
Is there a difference before Pesach and during Chol HaMoed?
No. The Isra of Chametz applies to all 8 days of Pesach.
No, I mean, because you said the 1/60th rule applies differently. If you buy, like, if you buy milk on...
Once you are not mekel on 1/60th for... No, it wouldn't be different because you're... not for now. It would be different. The rules of Aser Dishrais apply for all 8 days.
So how do we come to kasher or silverware and whatnot for Pesach?
You can kasher things.
Why can't you kasher the dishwasher?
Yeah. So if you have a metal dishwasher, let's say you could. There are certainly rabbis that permit it, if it's a metal dishwasher. The plastic ones, they won't. Metal ones, there's room to say. The problem is, even the metal ones have plastic in them, meaning it's going to be hard-pressed to really get all the plastic out. So...
where are the plastic?
Usually the metal walls, and they'll have plastic racks, or the plastic rack, or the metal might be metal racks, but there's plastic coating on the racks, or there is... Right, so you can change the racks. If you change the racks to your metal walls, you have a hard time saying why to be machmir, unless you want to buy into what these other people are going to be saying shortly, which is the reason why people have two dishwashers. Okay, so...
Joel already went ahead.
What?
Joel already went ahead years ago.
Dishwashers,
myself and my wife. Do you kasher
it? The workman who did the work couldn't understand why we had the dishwasher.
I'm sure he could. You're a big family, you need big loads.
One's dirty and one's clean.
Okay. So I'm not sure we want to go through the whole thing. We'll raise this three chashasha. So if we look at where it says 95 here, so this is that Shmir Shavsky Hilchasa, the Chazon Ish did last week. So right under it is the first page, moves on to the second page. So right up here, where he says, the top line, will inyan hishtamshus b'machonis hadachas kelim.
This is Shmir Shavs?
No, this is the Vadei Shulchan.
Okay.
So while Rav Moshe called it dishwashers, Rav Feivel in Manhattan they call them dishwashers, in Brooklyn they call them hishtamshus mechonis hadachas kelim. So achas l'kli basar l'kli chalav. Hine shlosha diyunim yesh bazeh. There's three things you have to worry about. Hadiyuna echad hu mitzad hatam balu b'dofnei kelim. One of them is because of the tam that is bale into the walls of the kelim harishonim. Shechud chusham haniflatim aydei hamayim ha. Chamim v'nivlim l'toch dofen hamachonis. Right, so you have taste that goes from the dishes themselves that then go into the wall of the machine. V'chagon shidiach tchilas kli basar harei kishabola hadiach achar klach kach kli chalav nimsa b'dofen b'machonis. You'll find in the walls of the thing mitam habasar shahay became harishonim. So that's number one. So Moshe says, not per not. He might also say, not per not. He said, not per not. That's mefurish. You don't have to worry about that.
How does it come out?
Because the water, as it spritz, will hit the wall and then bounce back onto the flint.
Suppose you run it through a cycle between. That would take care of that problem, no?
Right, so that's a different machlokas that we didn't cover. Whether we consider when something splatters on one part of it, do we consider the entire thing to be a problem? So that also, Rav Moshe's making
on. Somehow, dishes are 100% clean, they're not 95, usually.
You're saying the walls.
I'm saying, so if the dishes are 100%
clean. You say the walls clean. Also should be clean. Right, I'm not sure that would be considered, it's not considered Hagala though. I mean, I'm not sure it's considered Hagala.
He's talking about
Hagala for less than... Less than, if it's less than boiling, would that be considered hagala? So that also is a machlokas for Moshe and everyone else.
If it's less than boiling, it's not considered hagala. What would it also absorb?
Yeah, so let us
would it absorb? And if it absorbs the gatsa, let us rather why it can split, spit out.
With,
the,
with, yeah, so right. That is that might also be they might not agree with that. Meaning the Bali Shulchan crew would not necessarily agree to that.
Okay.
Ramosha has a clue with regards to sinks that if you have one sink, so do you need so what happens? So do you need racks or do you need a bucket? Right. So Ramosha says all you need are the racks. The Bali Shulchan says you need a bucket. Ramosha says, because what's the worst that could happen? So the worst that could happen is that you have the water, so if something falls onto that spot of the sink, the water maybe is hot, even though it's probably so, but maybe the water is hot enough such that the thing goes into that spot. It's not going to spread throughout the entire sink. So the only chashash is that within 24 hours, the other flavor kli is going to fall into that exact same spot and going to absorb in the exact same way. So Ramosha says you don't have to be choshish for that. So if as long as you put a rack down, even though things are going to fall through the rack every once in a while, you don't have to worry about it. While and once 24 hours pass, even though you have to worry about time of come about the Einu Ben Yom, well, no, because Einu Ben Yom was only problem l'chakila, not b'di'evit. So you don't want things to fall through the crack, so it's only b'di'evit, so therefore it's okay. This whole chaver says the problem because no, it's going to fall in. The entire thing is going to then become right. All the sugyas we did before about the time spreading throughout, the entire thing becomes a milk, like one big milchix kli. And not only that, but the water fills up some of the time. So the entire thing could be considered like one big kli rishon. If you machmer like that chazanish, right? So therefore, you have to be chush. You have to use the buckets.
At what temperature?
Thanks. Kli Rishon, I believe, would be Yatzel Espa. So that's his first thing. V'adiyun hasheni hu mitzad shema masha, we're the third white line. V'adiyun hasheni hu mitzad shema masha shel basa sha'ala keil hari nivla mimenu l'tok dofen hamuchanis. Perhaps the mamashas themselves go right into the wall of the machine. Kishemei hadacha movilim mamashu zel liga bedofen. Kishemei hadacha movilim mimamashu zel liga bedofen. The water will force the things against the wall, and the water will then cause it to be absorbed into the wall. V'adin hashlishi hu mitzad debeinon lemechush shekeshebo lahadiach sham kli hachalav. That we have to be concerned that when you come to wash your milchix kelim, adayin nishar b'mechonis ezem amashol shel baser, there will still be remaining in the dishwasher pieces of meat. Kevin sheyesh lamata kemin reshes, because at the bottom there is a reshes, a net or a filter. Shenechazim sham perurei hamaychol, where all of the pieces collect there. Ve'enam nishtafim min hamachunis, and they're not really cleaned out from the machunis. Elu heim hagimel chashash shebedinze, and those are the things that we have to worry about with this thing, with this kind of machine. It goes on to be, I think, the Makel, right, so he goes on to be Makel on the first tzad, that pussy says not bar not, he admits to not bar not, but the rest of them he then goes on to be Machmiran, right, those pieces on the bottom. And in Rabbi Forst's book as well, in the Laws of Kashrus, so he goes on and talks about dishwashers. He gives you how it works. In many times, the dishwasher, after hot water enters the door, it gets at the bottom of the dishwasher, where it is heated significantly by heated elements. Thus, the water should be considered kli rishon. After the water was heated sufficiently, it is drawn by revolving wand and sprayed upwards, so it's iroi kli rishon. The dishwasher dispenses detergents at different intervals in the washing cycle. Any food taste in the water is presumably ruined. Nevertheless, the final rinsing cycle is done without detergent, enabling potent taste to be emitted from the dishwasher into the water. Finally, a dishwasher has a filtration system at its drain to prevent food particles from entering. The mechanism of the pump. Some larger particles can be removed after each washing, but there's going to be pieces that are still there. I don't know if that's true, Bismanazah. It might be true in my dishwasher at the Eichler's. But I don't know, this idea that there's still pieces of food stuck at the bottom of the dishwasher.
So he holds that Rav Moshe didn't understand this.
So he...
Or he also, Rav Moshe doesn't understand the halacha. Which
I think where he's going is the filter. Here, another serious problem is the filter found in many models. A, meat particles remain in the filter, they'd be sprayed, okay, although one could remove, okay. The washer bottom fills with hot water, which is then heated further. Thus, the water, which is a kli rishon, absorbs meat taste and is sprayed into the dairy dish and into the dairy residue. The dish is producing actual basar l'chalav. Possible solution to this problem could be acquiring separate filters for meat and for dairy dishes. In conclusion, it should be apparent that one should not use one dishwasher for both meat and dairy dishes. There are, however, lenient opinions. See Igros Moshe 228, 229, and 310, who rules permissibly. So that's the story.
Who is this guy?
This is Rabbi Forst, Rabbi Yemen Forst.
What was the
he wrote the book in English. So
the knot by knot, and then the meat at the bottom. What was the one in the middle? You said there were three.
Is that the stuff is going to go into the wall, directly into the walls, and then the knot by knot is going to. That's like the case of the Ramah. That's like the meat dishes with the milchik dishes next to each other. Okay,
That's not a problem. It's only the meat at the bottom of the filter.
No, so he claims that would be a problem because that's what the Ramo would be making on, but everyone else would be machmara.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's like what you have then is a meat dish and a dairy dish,
uh-huh.
Right? And they're then being to be washed together. So that he claims is an issue. So that is the milk after meat the meat story again. Certainly, those who make it, Moshe certainly makes a lot of sense, especially Bisman Hazeh, when our dishwashers seem to do pretty good jobs of cleaning off all the residue.
People on kids make fun of me actually cleaning before they put them in the dishwasher because we don't run it every day.
Yes.
It smells. So
yes.
The dishes are pretty clean when they're going
yes.
to the
yes. I'm on the other side of that thing. I'm the one making fun of. Yeah.
He has asked come from a Moshe.
Yeah.
Who says he's reticent to give haskamas on halacha sefers, but he's happy with the part that he saw. So
his English is all ended.
Okay, so for moving on from the so that's using dishwashers. So now moving on to the controversy that's hit recently is the Starbucks issue. It's not so recent anymore. This was already spring 2011. It appeared in the Journal of Halachic Contemporary Society. That machlokas had been going on already for a while. So it's now already a year and a half, 2 years old. The big Starbucks controversy. So what was the big Starbucks controversy? The CRC announced that after their research, they have discovered that Starbucks that sell treif things, meaning treif sandwiches, which is pretty much most Starbucks stores. Well,
did they make them on site?
Yeah, they heat them up on site. Heat them up on site. So I'm not sure what make meat. They certainly heat them up on site. So they heat up on site, and they have tongs that take it out. Right, those tongs are then thrown into a sink, and the things that are used for coffee are thrown into the same sink. So sometimes they're washed in the same sink, and then they're perhaps, but often they're also cooked in the same dishwasher together. So they came along and answered all the coffee from Starbucks as well. So first of all, in general, so why are we allowed to go to pretty much any coffee shop, you know, that we come into and just buy a cup of coffee, right? On the when you're going up the New Jersey Turnpike, so we go
Starbucks.
Not just into Starbucks, but into the I don't know, the times that we're driving, it seems to only the on the run stores seem to be the coffee that's available. So why are we allowed to go there? Because really, there's only one part of these coffee machines that get washed, and that is that come into contact with anything. So assuming most the coffee itself is kosher, the only thing is that the spout, the whatever you call that thing, the
spigot.
The spigot, no,
spigot,
no, that's
where
spigot.
You put the coffee in.
The place where you're holding the coffee, and then from where it goes from there underneath, so that part gets taken out. The paper thing gets thrown into the garbage, and that thing gets rinsed out in water, and then it gets put back. That's the way it gets fixed on a regular basis.
You probably think about your home coffee maker. Like, I don't know if they do that in Starbucks.
I'm talking about in these.
Commercial.
No, in these in a gas station or in McDonald's or in Dunkin' Donuts, right? So those things are not cleaned very very intensely. However, they discovered that in Starbucks, those things are often washed in the dishwasher with the things that have treif kalim, not just treif kalim, but actually have pieces of treif on it. So does that? So what's the problem there? So the apparently the research, I didn't do any of this research. Much of it is available in this 30-page article in this journal. Much heavier on the research and much lighter on the halacha, I would say, but they point out that the dishwashers that they use, there's two steps to these, many of these dishwashers, and it goes through what percentage of Starbucks use these particular dishwashers, but these dishwashers, they have two cycles. The first cycle is soapy water at 130 degrees, and the second cycle is hot, non-soapy water at 180 degrees. So the hot, soapy water at 130 degrees takes care of all the mamashos, meaning all the pieces that are sitting on the vessels all go out then. So that actually is a big help, because as soon as the water that's hitting these pieces of meat is soapy water, therefore causing it to be tamlif gam, and therefore one doesn't have to worry about those pieces then going on and hitting something else. The problem is, though, is that the second cycle is the very hot, non-soapy water, right, well then goes into these kalim, and perhaps that might be this ramah, right? That might be washing without soap, both treif and non-treif kalim at the same time. So that is the concern. So on one hand, one could say, like Bob wants to say, what do you mean? It was already kosher the first time around with 130 degrees, and that was already made it all soapy, and perhaps that shouldn't be a problem. So that, sad l'kula A. That could certainly be a sad l'kula. The second thing would be, is that, so that's A. The second thing is, soap is A. Not everybody necessarily accepts that soap, and there's however, the Aruch HaShulchan said that we do. This I didn't know, but the Chazon Ish is actually machmer on that. I mean, if you want to say halacha kibasrai, so Chazon Ish comes later. Chazon Ish knew that Aruch HaShulchan said that the Mechaber is talking about something entirely differently, not talking about what everybody assumes that he was talking about, but nevertheless, most are makel, certainly b'di'evid, on the soap kulas. Kula number two is that anyways, what's the story with the hot water? The hot water, once it gets to that section, is really only a cliché. Meaning the hot water goes into the beans, right? The beans in that paper thing, whatever, that part is not really washed. It's only afterwards that it goes through another pipe that then gets collected and then gets put, that gets served out. So that set, the part that's actually washed with the non-kosher kalim only gets used as a klisheni, is only actually touching the water as a klisheni. And then the third thing is that the suffix whether they're actually putting it in the first place, meaning many of these places, while that might be the official instructions of Starbucks is to wash the brew baskets, that's the term, is to wash the brew baskets with everything else, it's not clear whether it's really happening. So there's one after the machmer.
But even if it's happening 80%, if it's happening 30% of the time, some people behave this way, some people behave that way. Some people do it according to the book, according to the corporate instructions.
So, but it might be that it is being koshered along the way when it's used the other way.
I'm saying your third.
Right, but even if it's used sometimes that way, if it's washed without them, if it's washed without the non-kosher kalim, so that could be a koshering process and it's not by itself. So for. Not wanting to rely on that the CRC is not clear. He does have a footnote here where he points out.
So he says he can't go to Starbucks.
So they say you can't go to the Starbucks stores. Yes. That is definitely on. This was written by the CRC people. This was their article that they put forth on the CRC website.
And if I show you a CRC that says not like that?
Fine. But certainly they
I don't know what CRC or it was the Chav K, but I read an article.
Yeah.
I read an article by one of them,
yeah.
And they said that those Starbucks which do not make the sandwiches but bring them
yes.
in, you can eat there without a problem, like the places on the Turnpike, for instance. They don't make the sandwiches. They
I'll bring it
to you and write.
Although that could be, I'm saying what the CRC said. They do point out that the kiosks, I mean, when you buy it, like in the airports, where they don't really have the sandwiches
right.
there.
They
so
have
those
sandwiches.
Are.
They don't have the.
If they're heating them up, and they have, could be those kinds of places. Don't I don't know. My impression is that the places that have the things there, it's a problem, and if they don't have the things there, then it's not a problem. The coolas that I gave you were Shastri's coolas. So the OU, as far as I know, comes out Makil on this.
They
point out in a footnote here, in the footnote in this article, they say there's really, I only told you about one of the problems. The other problem is the lattes. I mean, the lattes, they steam those milk in those little metal pitchers. Those metal pitchers are washed in the same place. And those are a little bit worse because you don't have the kli sheni has. I mean, that's actually the stuff. It's iruy kli rishon into those things. So he says, so there are those that say to be machmir on the lattes, but you could be makil on the brew baskets, which that's the much bigger deal. And there are those that say you could be makil on the other way. You could be makil on the little latte thingies, but machmir on the brew baskets, because the little things are used many times in between usages, and could be that its own use would be makil on it. I am the brew baskets.
I'm puzzled by that because I would think that the hot milk would be more of a problem than the brew baskets. I don't know why.
No, he is. That's what he's saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But the guy that says the machmer in the brew baskets, not
yeah, because
the
that's yeah. Why would you? That would also be Gael Chavero. Yom Yom Nase Gael Chavero. Right. The kasha some even more lean regarding the metal cusp was continuously used to steam beverages in a manner that qualifies it. Yes, he doesn't say why the other way would be. If you're makel on that, you should be makel, like you said, mm-hmm. Right? So I'm in that middle way.
He's saying that you cannot drink a latte with your meal.
That is correct. That is correct. Besides that, they're not even so thrilled about you drinking lattes without your meat meal either. So that's, I'm not sure.
I will bring you what I have printed out.
The OU doesn't.